Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 696, Red Rings of Flighting, recorded live on August 8th, 2019. Three, two, one. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I am back after yet another stop at Halo Outpost. I just realized my camera, since I moved my monitor up, is a little bit up. Oh, there we go. That's a little better.
Just cut off the top of his head. There we go.
There we go. That's better. But yeah, three of them down, two of them left. Next one's in my hometown, Houston, which will be a lot of fun. Parents are going to that one. And so is the wife. So the whole family is going to be there. And yeah, I actually talked with my brother.
To see the opinions after that one.
As far as, like, all the...
Everybody's...
improvements? Yeah. You
know, everybody in the Duststorm family's opinions.
Yes. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll be fun. They are coming on Sunday. So I have... Currently, well, I actually got my panel scheduled tonight, literally like 45 minutes ago. And yeah, I have one panel Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in addition to the game show panel. So I guess since we're on that topic, we'll go ahead and start with that. On Friday, I have the Machinima panel, which will be at 5:15 p.m. On Saturday, I have the community panel, which will be at 4:45 p.m. And on Sunday, I have the Forge panel, which will be at 12:15 p.m. And if the game show follows the trend, then it'll be probably at 7 p.m. on Friday. I did ask if I could do it also again on Sunday, because my parents will be there on Sunday, and that's something I would like to show off to them. So we'll see if that happens. But I'm only doing four.
Maybe even buttons.
So the buttons did work for Chicago. They actually served their purpose, and they worked.
That's good. Glad you were able to get those fixed before you left.
Yes. Actually, the red one was still kind of iffy because, like I was telling you before the show, one of the wires is actually loose for the LED in the button, so I got to fix that one. I installed some status LEDs in there to help me troubleshoot, but the buttons work, and we did Family Feud with the game show. And they worked exactly like they were supposed to. So I will consider it a success.
Cool.
Now I just got to take it to Houston and Anaheim. Keep on doing Family Feud with it. And we'll see how it goes. But it went well.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
For those of you that haven't been paying attention, Dustin's been working really hard on these buttons.
I've got buttons. I've got so many buttons. Just three right
He's
now.
He's got buttons.
Got buttons.
He's got buttons.
You can see the red one in the corner there. They flash and do pretty things. See? Ooh.
Which is so good for our audio listeners.
I was going to say, for everyone listening to us, you're going to have no idea what the heck this is. But there'll be a video eventually out for these. I'll put something on my personal YouTube channel on how I made them and how they work and all that stuff. I'm personally proud of them, and they'll get some reuse out of them, too. In 2 weeks, my wife and I are actually going over to a coworker's of mine for game night, and we might actually use these in some games and try them out.
Cool.
Right now, there's only three buttons. It is designed for five, so the game code allows for five, but I only have three of them built, so I just have to build the other two, and they're good to go. All the logic works. That was tested out this weekend with Family Feud, and I was happy that it worked. Game show panel went really well. We did Family Feud to start, then we did the match game, which devolved into the normal nonsense that match game devolved into when they did it RTX, which was the same answer kept coming up in responses. And This one was grunt related. You want to guess what the recurring answer was for Match Game?
Am I allowed to say it on our channel?
I think it's technically... Yeah, go ahead.
No, honestly, I have no idea.
Food nipple.
I haven't thought about it. Food nipple.
Yeah. Laird got it.
Yeah.
Were you there, Laird? I don't remember if you were there or not. Okay, so yeah, he was there. But food nipple came up for like the last four phrases or sentences for Match Game out of the seven that we did. So that was... It devolved into normal stuff. And we also did Wheel of Fortune, which Sketch ended up buying some number stickers. So we got stickers on the wheel instead of my crappy handwriting with the black dry erase marker. And it looks a lot better. You can actually see the numbers from a distance. But everyone on the staff side loved Family Feud. Sketch wants to make it pretty much exclusively Family Feud and Wheel of Fortune for the game show. And I had it at 7 p.m. on Friday, right after my hour was supposed to be Bravo's Let's Play stream. So there was supposed to be a stream and they played Xbox and whatnot. We just blew right into it. At one point, so with Philly, they added chat monitors to the stage. So whenever the mixer partners are streaming, they can see the chat. For Chicago, they took the top half of that screen and would put the Windows timer or notepad up there. And it was a way for them to basically talk to the stage without having to speak over the microphone. Yeah. And when it got to 8 o'clock, they put up go as long as Bravo wants to. So we went for an hour and a half.
Nice.
We did one round of Feud, one round of Match Game, and two rounds of Wheel of Fortune. And it was so much fun.
That's good. I'm glad people are having fun with it.
Me too.
That's what's really important, that people are enjoying the show.
It's been very rewarding to see the positive feedback of the game show, and really that positive response is like, this was worth putting the time and effort into, and still putting
most
the time
definitely.
And effort into.
Yeah, you work that hard on something and then it pays off in a good way. It makes you feel really good.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone, all of our new listeners now from all the panels and the game show. Thanks for coming and helping and making it a fun time for all of us, because the Bravo Sketch and Uni had a blast with it. I've had a blast with it. All the audience members seem to really be getting into it. Even the VR line, so the VR experience was right by the main stage and the target range, but the VR line was actually on the side of the content stage, so they were getting rowdy with the games as well. So there were a few Wheel of Fortune puzzles that stumped some of the players, and the VR line at times were louder than the audience members sitting down in the chair. So overall, it was a fantastic experience. At some point, they are going to give me the recording so I can see how it went. I don't know if I'll ever be able to release them, but I'll be able to get a copy of the recordings. There are a few Twitter videos and Instagram videos out there. I've tried looking for them. I don't know if people are tagging them with certain tags or something, but there's been a few videos out there, including one of them from the person who is cosplaying. Well, not cosplaying, but is Hazel. She's a good friend of mine. And she was actually there for the very last Wheel of Fortune. Actually, it might not have been the very last Wheel of Fortune puzzle, but I added one in there. Yes, Laird, it's Jordan. I added one in there, which was Halo Outpost Discovery as the Wheel of Fortune puzzle, which now I'm going to have to remove it for Houston, for anyone that's going to be in Houston listening to this podcast. But I added that one in there as kind of an extra puzzle to use. And they got down to where there's only four letters left. And the way that she took the video, she's like, there's the puzzle. There's the logo. What was the logo? The Halo Outpost Discovery logo. The answer was literally on the board. And it didn't even dawn on me until I saw that video. I'm like, oh. Well, that made for some comedy. So that was a lot of fun.
It's amazing how focused people can be on something.
Yeah. And believe it or not, the person that answered, do you remember Dusk Sander?
Yeah.
That was him. He was up there. So I got to meet Dusk Sander. I got to meet Skyrim Halo or Destiny Halo. And there was one other person from the Podtacular community that I met there this weekend. I have to go back through my pictures and see. But I've met a Podtacular person, I think, just about at every location, which is mind-blowing. So that was a lot of fun. Going back to the community panel, which Laird kind of alluded to in the chat earlier, standing room only. It was the very first panel of Friday. It had some big names on it, which helped. So Halo Canon, Laird, Hidden Xperia, the HTS ProTalk guys, JK Fire and Nine, Mr. Mayhem. And then we also had, wow, I'm blanking. Drawing the blank. Who's our other panelist? Why am I drawing a blank on the other panelist?
Green Skull's assistant?
The Soterios from Ready Up. He was sitting right by me. How did I freaking forget him?
Notes. Oh.
I literally pulled up the panelist listing. Because that's how I've had to keep track of everything.
Why we have show notes. Oh.
Well, you think I would remember who was on my freaking panel.
Yeah. Anyway. We could take that in several directions. We won't, though.
So the panel went very well. All the chairs were taken. 343 was there in mass. Apparently, we got on the Instagram stories, but since those are only 24 hours and I haven't seen any of them, I don't even know what the story even looked like. But we had about, I would say, at least 100 people at least cycle through that first panel. And it was the largest panel that I've had throughout the whole Outpost experience. And really, all my panels for Chicago were a lot more than the presence I got in Orlando and Philly. Part of the reason being, I think, right outside the Hall of History, that was the Armory stage. So in order to get to the main stage or to the VR or to the PX, you had to walk by the Armory. And you would see the Armory stage. So you would see what's going on. So I think that helped a lot with getting people in there. Yeah. And so the community one was huge Friday. Over 100 people came and stopped by, which was amazing. Thank you to every single person that came and listened to us and watched us. Then on Saturday, we had the Fan Projects panel first. And that one, we had all the seats full. We had some people standing. I think we had probably about 70 people or so cycle through that one. That one was the folks from CE3, which was Matt Dratt and Slow Bullet, and also Masters from SPV3. And then right after that one was the Forge panel, and that one was the least attended out of all of them in Chicago. Probably just bad timing because we butted up against the Marcus Leto panel for the Forge one, and I think one of the other big signings that was happening in the VIP lounge. So fortunately, we got pulled a lot away from that panel, but we still had about, I want to say, at least 30 people come through, and that panel actually had the most questions from the Q&A time that we had, and that one went long.
Like you're getting good involvement as well.
Yeah, we really are. The timings have been pretty accurate. Some of the talk of the community one went over because we just had so many people on there. So I think we only had 3 to 5 minutes of Q&A time left after everyone was done talking. But for the most part, all the timings of the panels have been pretty spot on. So that's worked well in my favor so far. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday was the podcast panel. We had the HCS Pro Talk guys on. So JK Fire and I am Mr. Mayhem again. And then we also had Brokebox on from the Mission Debrief podcast, which is one of the sub-podcasts under Podcast Evolved. And that went really well, too.
Good.
That's the only panel I haven't edited so far. of my panels, because believe it or not, for the first time, there was another community panel that wasn't my own. So Halo Cannon had a panel that he did, Tofreak, on the lore and how to get into the lore. So he had Hidden Xperia. I'm blanking on his name. One of the other lore YouTube channels. Late Night Gaming. Someone else who I hadn't met before. I've heard the name before. Covenant Cannon. Thank you, Laird. And one other person. And their panel was really good, too. It was very well attended. Some good questions for theirs as well. I did manage to record it, so I got to look at... Oh, yes. Lorecam also from Windows Central. Thank you, Laird. That was the fifth one. So we're going to get that one up there as well. I need to check with 343 to see if I need to post it because I got permissions, or if I can let Halo Cannon post it. I'll figure that out this weekend. But all of my panels will be up by Sunday at the latest. I'm trying to get them all done tomorrow. I have two of them fully edited. One of them already exported. One of them is in the middle of being worked on, and then the other one I haven't started on yet. So I'm hoping to get them all out by tomorrow. It'll be Sunday at the latest, though. And I managed to do the Covenant Escape Room, since that was the one attraction I hadn't done yet. And it was about as simple as everyone was saying it was.
Yeah.
It was a little disappointing.
Well, so, like, people that are real familiar with the lore of Halo have a much easier time with it.
So I don't know if...
I should say be more that are more familiar with Halo.
If you're not familiar with Halo, the puzzles are done in such a way where it could fit any thematic form, and you mm-hmm. would still know what to do. The puzzles themselves were not that complicated. They were pretty easy, and it almost seemed like it was designed that way.
Yeah, probably. You don't want, in something like that, you probably don't want something that's too difficult, because word will get around that it's, you know, it's tough to solve, and that'll cut down the amount of people that actually want to try it because they think it's too hard to even attempt.
Well, so. the Pelican training one, that one's difficult. That one has a 30% success rate, and people love that one.
Yeah.
Although it's mostly Halo fans attending right now, so that kind of makes sense.
You know, I don't know what people look for in that kind of attraction, because I'm not in that business. So,
right, it's just one of those
that are running it. I would assume know what they're doing. So,
yeah, I think they're learning a lot from this first year, mm-hmm. and there's going to be adjustments made to the experiences and all the attractions based on feedback. It is going to be one of those weird situations where they still probably want it accessible to people that aren't necessarily hardcore Halo fans, but at the same time, you want something that is engaging to the Halo fans as well, because it is a Halo convention after all.
Yeah. But, you know, it falls back to the way they've designed the whole attraction, or the whole thing. They've designed it so that it's, you know, even in the lore, that it's for people that aren't really part of it. It's a recruiting tool. It's information. It's, you know, stuff like that. And the way they've done it, I think they've done it really well. Because from what I've seen, there is plenty of stuff there for lore nuts to dig around and find and learn from. But it's not presented in a way to where it turns people off that don't know about it.
True.
And I think there's a really good job with that balance. This is for the whole attraction, you know, the whole convention itself. I haven't had a lot of feedback on each individual attraction because, A, I'm not there. And, you know, a lot of people can't really put it into words that mean anything really to me. I mean, they can describe it and okay, yeah, fine, but until you experience it, it's you have nothing to gauge it against.
Right.
It's like, you know, I've never done an escape room. It's problem solving. Okay. It's problem solving. Okay.
You turn some knobs, push some buttons, and put some things in places. That's about it.
But, you know, it doesn't describe the difficulty of it or how easy it is, or, you know, what one person says is easy, another person might find difficult. So anyway, you know, that a lot of the stuff that I get is colored by personal opinion, which is, that's just the way it is. And you can't have a completely unbiased opinion about something.
Right.
You know, your own opinion is going to color it in some way or another.
That's true.
Laird says it needs a legendary mode.
It kind of does. Need like a VIP legendary mode or something. They
can put a mythic button on the outside of the entrance.
Yes.
As you go in, you hit the mythic button.
I want to be destroyed by the Covenant.
On.
That'd be so cool if they got someone or got someone to say that. So apparently, the random tangent in a way, since. Like for the laser tag experience, the combat deck, they didn't use Jeff Starcher's voice, and I remember someone asking 343 about it, but there was some either like contractual thing or some like money thing or something. I think it was probably a contractual thing why they couldn't use Jeff Starcher's voice for the combat deck. Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I think they could have picked someone with a little bit more of a or someone with a little more emphasis in their voice, or at least have the voice actor have that little more emphasis instead of a little more neutral tone. But Combat Deck is still my favorite experience. And I have yet to win. I still need to win. I need to get that dog tag, dang it. Laird says, VR all day. I've only done VR once. I do plan on doing it again, though.
That's probably the one thing I'd really, really want to try is the VR. Just for the simple fact that I've never done VR. The combat deck, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
It's laser tag, I mean.
Yeah.
The one annoying thing about laser tag, which still irks me, is that the lasers bounce off walls. There's ricochets everywhere in laser tag, and it's so annoying. Because you'll be behind cover, and there's no one else in sight, and you die.
Well, I mean, bullets do ricochet.
Yes, they technically do. It's just super annoying, because I'm going back to hide, so I don't die. And half of my deaths are because I'm hiding, trying to get my shields back, and they're ricochets. And I don't know how else to hide. And I tried to ricochet stuff off walls, too, and it doesn't work for me.
Well, yeah, you just gotta work on that geometry a little bit.
It frustrating, man. It frustrating.
Yeah, I can understand that. They probably really ought to have some type of absorption material on the walls or something.
I think it's part of the paint that is in the little cover pieces that they've built. I don't think it's the walls of the combat deck. I think it's the pieces that they have in there for cover that's bouncing some of that stuff off.
Yeah, like I said, the objects and walls in there should have something to absorb the light.
Yeah, that's
or what diffuse it so it doesn't or bounce as easily.
That's what I would like to see.
But yeah, it's only a game.
Yes, I you're correct. It's only a game. Anywho,
it's kind of like when you play mouse and keyboard and you forget which button's your jump button and you fall off the cliff.
Did that happen recently?
Again and again and again.
I'll take that as a yes, that happened recently.
Yeah, watch my latest stream on my own channel.
Fair enough.
Yes, I am venturing into mouse and keyboard. I have. Well, it's mouse and nunchuck, but or Wiimote, if you want to call it that. I don't know.
Nunchuck.
I did give it a try, and I cannot keyboard. My fingers just, they don't do that.
It literally does not compute.
I literally spent the last 3 weeks farting around trying to find a key combination that would work with my fingers. But I'm old and I'm used to controllers, so my thumb has to do the work. My fingers just can't do that. It's too clunky for me. It doesn't feel smooth. And, you know, it's just the way that I'm used to. You know, I'm used to having that thumbstick. But anyway.
Sure. Nothing wrong with using a controller on PC.
I like the mouse. The mouse I actually got used to pretty quick. And got to where I enjoyed it. The problem is the left hand. the left hand running the keyboard, I can't get it to work correctly. So I dug around, and I found what I call a nunchuck. It's basically half of a controller, or the left hand of a controller, that is basically a, you know, like a 12-button keyboard, or a 12 or 15-button keyboard is basically how the computer sees it. So it is technically a keyboard. You could type with certain letters. You could actually spell anything, but you can type with it.
Fair enough.
So it's kind of splitting hairs. It's half controller, half keyboard and mouse. I got the mouse part, just not quite the keyboard. So I've been trying to get used to that for Halo, because I would really like to play Halo like that, just to understand the PC side of it.
You're talking about with mouse and keyboard, or with the mouse and nunchuck?
With the mouse and nunchuck. I've given up on using the keyboard.
Fair enough.
It just doesn't. No. My hand just doesn't work. So it'll be mouse and nunchuck for me.
All right.
And if anybody wants to know what I'm looking for, just look up Splitfish. They have multiple different SKUs, some for PlayStation, some for Xbox, and some for PC.
Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anything else Outpost related? Yeah. They stopped selling the Funko Pops.
Why? Did they run out?
So here's the insider scoop. There was such a demand at Orlando and Philly that they shipped extra units of the Funko Pops to Orlando and Philly, and they had pretty much run out of their allotment, except for what they needed to save for the VIPs at the remaining sites. So they held all the Funkos for VIP bags that did not get picked up from Friday or Saturday, and they sold them at triple the cost, basically. So I believe the Funkos, they were either 15 or 20 in Orlando when they were selling, and then on Sunday at Chicago they were selling them for $40 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah. Three for Three, or Hershend, or whoever was in charge of the whole Funko thing, completely dropped the ball and not realizing that, hey, people are coming to Outpost for one reason, to get one of these Funko Pops, knowing that they could just show up and buy one. And now if they can't show up and buy one, that's kind of a low blow.
Oh, man.
Oh, Laird said they were 10 in Orlando, 20 in Philly, and 40 in Chicago. So they've doubled at every location. So that means we'll see them at $80 in Houston. Yeah, it bad. It really bad.
Somebody's making a killing on them.
Yep. I saw Tiffany there on, well, pretty much every day. She's technically John Friend's and James Monosmith's boss, I think, technically. And saw her Friday morning as General Mission was opening. She was there with Frankie and someone else at the time. So I was talking. Oh, Tiffany works for John. Okay, so John's over Tiffany. But I was talking with her, and we noticed that there was tape on the shop listing, and we were trying to figure out what it was. And then I look around, I'm like, wait a second, there's no Funko Pops anywhere. Sure enough, they weren't selling Funko Pops. And there were a lot of people that I talked to that day that were looking for Funko Pops, and there were no Funko Pops to be found.
Not good.
No, not really. So that's a thing. So if you're going to one of the other outposts and you're looking for a Funko Pop, you better be able to go there Sunday or come to my game show on Friday. You might have a chance to win one. Because I still have my Funko Pops for the game show. They still have those set aside, so.
Well, that's good.
I've got 12 for every game show that I can give away. So yeah, either be there on Sunday, have a VIP ticket, or come to my game show. Those are the three ways you can get, or find them on eBay. Those are the four ways that you can get Funko Pops right now.
At $900 a pop. Oh, man.
I don't think they're that high yet. Laird probably has a pulse on how much they're being sold for right now. But yeah, they're definitely getting...
Kind of all depends on how many of them pop up at a time.
Did you intentionally say that? Was that intentional? Was that...
Yeah, it really does. The price is really going to be determined by how many people try to sell them.
So, Laird, I heard that 10,000 were made because Funko would only let them buy them in quantities of 10,000. I forget who told me that. I think it was from one of the Hirschman staff guys. It might have been from Minolta. Oh, from the guy running the store. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he probably would have a better pulse on it than Minolta would. But yeah, so that happened at Outpost Chicago.
Fun.
Outpost Chicago, though, had a lot of special guests, though. There was Greg Bear, Marcus Lado, Ann Toll. So here's a funny story. I was doing rehearsals with the stage crew Friday morning for the game show. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of rehearsal, Tim Dadabo walks up with his nephew. And he's like, hey! And I'm like, oh, hi! So, and he's like, who are you again? He's like, name's Dustin. He's like, cool to meet you. How you doing, man? So he remembers me from Halo Fest.
Cool. So,
it's not every day you can say that one of the people you look up to comes out and interrupts your rehearsal to say hi.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, so he was...
I wish I had.
Unfortunately, that was... Well, no, I did run into him one other time on Saturday, but barely had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
But it was still cool to say hi to him for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Troy Denning was there as well. Thank you, Laird. Marcus... I think I said Marcus Lade already. He was there with Sparth. They had a panel together talking about the design. Ken Peters was there. Thanks, Laird. So, quite a few lore people, quite a few novelists, some of the early designers as well. Just an all-out, very star-studded outpost for Chicago. Postums was there? I didn't think it was going to any of them. At least that's what I heard. Grim will be back in Houston, which will be fun. We'll have four people up on the main stage to commentate. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see. And anything else? Did the Pelican experience... Three times? Two times? Two times while I was there? I think two times. Won them both. So now I'm on a winning streak. I'm 3-3-2. Three back to back.
Well, it's kind of cheating when you know the answers.
That's true. It's still a lot
exactly
of fun.
A fair judge of your abilities when you already know how to win.
I'm helping others win.
Yeah.
I do have the whole thing almost memorized, though. There was one person I met, and I actually gave him a card, so
that's
he might...
kind of like taking a Major League Baseball player to a Little League game.
I could see that. There was someone that we met, or that I met on Sunday, because on Sunday, we actually had the whole podcast panel do a... Pelican Escape, and none of them had done it yet. So I was the only one that had done it out of the four of us. And you guys may have seen a picture up on the Podtacular Instagram, and it got reposted on Twitter and Facebook, but that was kind of like the podcast group that we did it with. So that was a lot of fun. And we successfully did that one, but there was another guy who was doing it solo. The entire thing solo. So
he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
So I gave him a card. I'm hoping he reaches out at some point. If you're listening, I think what was his name? I want to say Don. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, Laird. He did not make it. He got close though. He told me he got close. It's very difficult though. He was trying to do all 8 seats. So the experience is designed in such a way where if you go in with 7, the 8th seat will basically run itself. But he was trying to do all 8 stations at the same time. I'm curious to try it solo just for 7 and see if I can do it. The only thing is with the last one, the instructions only appear on certain screens. And they kind of cycle through. So I could see getting through the first 2 possible. The last one almost seems impossible. But I'm curious to see what his strategy was and how he approached that last stage. So if he reaches out at some point, then we'll get him on for a brief interview. But he was just like charging in and like it was Sunday, so it was a very small line, but yeah, he went in solo, and I'm curious to see how it turned out.
That would be interesting, especially if there was video of it.
Yeah, I don't think he had video of it. I don't think he had a GoPro or anything on him.
I'd say he was kind of busy.
Well, you have a GoPro or something on your head, you could probably record it.
Yeah.
Which I now have 3 recordings of laser tag with my GoPro and the gun rail mount. I haven't looked at them yet, but I'm expecting them to be good. Hoping that they'll be good. Expecting and hoping. So that was most of my Outpost experience, I think, for the most part. Yeah. Thursday night, went to a barbecue with Kevin Barry. He's one of the collector guys as well. Did a couple of dinners with the lore guys. So hung out with some of the lore guys on Friday. And then on Saturday, hung out with the kind of former RUL squad. So Anthrax, Apple, Jess, Soterios, Minolta, those guys. Hung out with them on Saturday. And then Sunday, hung out with Hidden Xperia for like 3 or 4 hours. And had a good time just hanging and chilling with him to wrap things up. We were actually waiting on 343 to go out downtown, and we were like, okay, we'll just grab a quick bite to eat somewhere and we'll wait to see what they do. They reached back out to us around 10 o'clock saying, okay, we're going to go for drinks. And both of us like, yeah, we got early flights. We're turning in. Sorry. So that's my Outpost experience from Chicago.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
It is what it is. So next stop is Houston, my hometown. I'll be leaving on Wednesday so I can spend a little extra time with my family before everything happens. So we will not be recording next week. But hometown, Houston, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in the area, come check it out. So let's get on to our regularly scheduled show, since we haven't technically started that yet, and we're already 45 minutes into this thing.
Just to cover the last couple of game nights. Last Friday, we had a good time. Played some Masquerade, Super Fiesta, pretty normal stuff. The one thing I did forget to mention the week before is about halfway through game night, I lost half my crew to 343, testing new game types.
Oh. Do they have like an all call or something to test the playlist update?
No, it was a private test. One of the people that was in my lobby has 343 employees on their friends list, and they invited us to help out. Unfortunately, the lobby was too full, and things were not progressing very quickly. So I moved back into our own private lobby because I had other people that wanted to join in and play, and I didn't want to have – I didn't feel like, you know, the lobby was already too full for the game types they were testing. So I stepped out and continued on with our game night. But from what I was understood, they had a lot of fun. Traders,
that's good.
I mean –
accurate.
Yeah, we'll be right back after we get done testing. Sure. Right. Hour and a half later.
I say, how long is right back?
But that's what I thought. They were testing a couple new game types, so they had fun. That's
good.
That's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Certainly nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. It's nice to be on 343's good side. So
Yeah.
You know, maybe next time I'll be able to join in and we can stream some 343 testing gameplay. Although I probably will need to message them, and if that ever happens again, message them and find out if it's okay if this goes out live on a stream.
Yeah, that probably would not have happened with what was going on, would be my guess.
Yeah, I figured as much, and that's why I had no problem stepping out. Because I know, you know some of that stuff, they want to kind of keep quiet until they are ready to announce, which is fine.
Yeah, because I'm assuming that was probably Reach related.
No, this is all Halo 5. They were just testing new game types for like action stuff.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Okay, so not flight stuff.
Yeah, no. How could we be testing Reach? None of us are in the testing pool. Or none of us have a build
that we know of. There might be some people who might be sneaking
that
was in there.
Nobody in the lobby that night had the build for it, I can tell you that.
Fair enough. Yeah, Luke came that got raided. So true. So true.
Yep. We got raided. Everybody left. They let me all by myself. No.
All by myself. Don't want to be all
but
by
we're looking
myself.
Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow night. So I hope to see people there. Maybe Tom can actually make it this time instead of lurking in the chat while he does his work.
Hey, Confell, if you actually show up, you might be lucky too. Pins was saying it was ODST Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Is ODST Slayer on the list?
No.
So it must be for an upcoming one.
Yeah, the way Pins was describing it, it's kind of a cross between regular Slayer and SWAT. You have a little bit more damage resistance than you do in SWAT.
But less shields or no shields or something like that?
Something like that.
Penn says SWAT on steroids.
Yeah. You have a little bit more health. Probably, I think the headshot multiplier is a little lower.
Okay.
But ODST weapons only.
Interesting.
So probably the gunfighter magnum, silenced SMGs.
Interesting indeed. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the update. Obviously, with me being in Outpost, we did not play on Sunday. But we'll be playing this Sunday. So more Halo Wars Definitive Edition streams. We're working on more part-time and gold. I don't anticipate us getting any additional multiplayer achievements like we did 2 weeks ago when we got 9 of them. So that won't be happening for a while. Let's go ahead and jump on into the few updates that we have for the week. We'll kick it back with the community spotlight from last week that we missed because we had to do the show a little bit early. This is posted by Snickerdoodle on the 1st, so a week ago. And we got some good stuff in here, some Infinite-inspired stuff, some Outpost inspired stuff and the usual rounds of art, forging, drawings, cosplay, renders, all that fun stuff. They did say at the beginning that they're starting to incorporate some more Instagram stuff. So if you have anything that you post on Instagram, you can use the hashtag Halo Spotlight, and they're starting to pick that stuff up as well. And they're also re-showcasing some of the stuff over there as well. So anything that's in the spotlight that can be tagged to an Instagram page, they're I think, reposting on their Instagram as well. So if you want to get spotlight on Instagram, then tag your Instagram accounts with your submission or your hashtag Halo Spotlight tag, and you might get reposted. Yeah, reposted on the Halo Instagram. So the first one we got here is a gigantic Master Chief forged in Halo 5 from the Infinite trailer. So it kind of has the Pelican back door in a way, and then the huge Master Chief. And is that breastplate part of a Guardian? What is that?
I don't know. It's big.
It is big. It looks like a piece of a Guardian or something on the chest plate. Or for the chest piece.
I don't think the Guardian is a piece.
I don't know what else that piece is.
I think those are grunts. No. Those are too big for them. I don't know. Hell, they could be phantoms for all I know.
Well, we don't know. And then there's the little Spartan on the shoulder for scale.
Yeah. The actual player Spartan.
Mm-hmm. And then a Twitch streamer by the username of Lara6683 did a mashup of Halo and Paint It Black, which is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3.5 minutes. It's a good mashup. Definitely check it out. Bad. Someone did a Blender render of the Halo Infinite Master Chief. I'm guessing just taking the few visuals from the trailer that we have, because they're not just going to give out that model to anyone. But it's a very good render.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I like the little comment that Sam put to it. Too bad that Mjolnir won't be so clean as soon as Chief gets to work.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone did a render of Noble Team inspired Funko Pop type design, which is pretty cool. Got a couple Mega Bloks things, some more renders. Next big one that is of interest is an Elite drawing that kind of looks like a constellation in a way. This one's done by @LucineAura on Twitter. There's some ODST concept art. There's Minecraft, a Minecraft build of Ford Unto Dawn. Some other cool pictures on here as well. Anything else sticking out to you at the moment? Kind of in this first section, like the couple of posters.
Yeah, the posters look really good. There's the Orion poster I kind of really like.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool one. Kind of has that Thor Ragnarok vibe to it. A little bit.
117 poster is pretty good as well.
I really like that one.
It's got the different armors that Master Chief wore. Even has, looks like the Master Chief collection Fisher set kind of ghosted in the background.
Yep.
Parts of it.
There's lots of different elements to that poster. There's some other good cyberpunky style renders done by Eclipse Halo. There's this beautiful kind of watercolor-ish painting of the Installation 07, kind of inspired from the Halo Infinite trailer, by Jolly Nerd. Then Dovahkiin makes another resurgence with his posable figures and some firecrackers. Some really good effects there. Lots of really good drawings. Then the Architect, who's one of the big community SFM artists, did a render of Owen and Hazel, which are very cool. Another one that I thought was funny was The Last Supper a la Halo. So this has Master Chief, the Arbiter, and two elites sitting down at the table. More pencil drawings, marker drawings. Is that, I think that's kind of looks like pastels, the the Halo 5 Legendary Edition bookend thing with Master Chief. Kind of looks like pastels. Lots of pencil drawings and other pieces of artwork in the spotlight this week.
Spider Chief.
Yes. The Prophet cosplay. That one's pretty cool.
Now if they could just figure out the chair.
That would be crazy. If they got a chair to go with it. Someone got a Grunt birthday party tattoo. The Grunt's wielding a hammer somehow, too.
Yeah.
Looks like a Grunt-sized hammer. We got some videos from Halo Outpost as well. We got one from the Reachway with his time in Philly. Uber Nick has a montage that was edited by Double AA. We got a tutorial video from the Shy Way telling us how to do some super jump strategies off respawn for certain maps. And we've got Bacon Media doing a very cinematic style trailer for Halo Outpost Discovery from Orlando. Definitely high quality. Really love the camera work that he put into it. We got some tweets that were tagged from the Halo Spotlight as well. Some more drawings, some Forge artwork. My panel gets an indirect shout out from Philly. So the trailer there for Sentinel Revelations, that was debuted at the Machinima panel in Philadelphia.
So cool.
Shout out to Mark Plaza for being on the panel and presenting that trailer. Looking forward to it. Might have to get him on the show to talk about it a little bit more when it comes out. We got an ODST, or not ODST, we got a Marine cosplayer down there. We've got some...
It's actually a really good costume, too.
Yeah, it really is. It's done by Danielle Debs, and it looks very much akin to a Halo 3 Marine.
I was thinking, yeah, Halo 2, Halo 3.
Or at least that's kind of the vibe I get. Some SFMs and some renders as well, and then the very last one for Doodles Snickers is a GTA rendition of a loading screen done with the Halo theme, which is really well done. Anything else they got to you, GT?
No, I think it pretty much covers it.
Cool. Next up, we have the Halo Insider MCC flighting update. So this goes into a little more detail from Postums on the MCC Insider stuff. And we have some stuff not allowing the flights to come out to us. So there's obviously some delays. We're hoping to see the firefighting or the fire flight out in July. Unfortunately, we have not seen it.
Well, considering it's August.
Yes. And it's already been a full week in August. So after the community voiced their opinion on the matter, I'll put it that way, Postums has decided to come out and give us a little bit more detailed view on how they're doing flighting. So there's some blocking bugs that have been found in what they've been testing with, which basically means it's a bug so bad that they don't want it to take it to the next ring. Well, what are rings? Rings are different expansions within a specific flight. So Ring Zero is internal studio. Ring One is made up of external partners that work with the studios. So basically like all the other partners that they probably have within Microsoft Game Studios and the other maybe companies that have worked with them in the past that know how to test properly. And then Ring Two,
paid testers probably.
Right. Ring Two goes to even more partners with a little bit more varied skill and a little bit more of a wider test case, so to speak. And then Ring 3 is when the Halo Insider Group gets to play a part of it. So there's these different steps that have to be gone through and tested and bugs identified and all that stuff. If there are any severe issues, which has unfortunately happened with this flight, it goes all the way back to Ring 0 to fix the issue and retest, and then it goes out again. So anytime there's a huge issue with the flight, everything resets, goes back to zero, and then it slowly makes its way out again.
Which later in this, they describe some of the issues that they're having. They're pretty game-breaking issues.
Yep. So right now, they are at Ring 1 with the Firefight. The Firefight stage. And there are 5 Ring 2 blockers and 15 Ring 3 blockers that they have to work through. For Ring 2, these are the 5 blockers that they have listed. Security Solution does not auto-install once the game is installed. And I'm assuming by Security Solution, they're talking about the anti-cheat they need for matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Long delays in menus accompanied by matchmaking errors can happen. That's pretty significant. Opening the settings menu during gameplay can cause the roster to stay stuck on screen.
That would suck.
Yeah, be pretty hard to play at that point. Frame loss can be experienced in various menus when played at higher resolutions. And a crash is present sometimes when a matchmade firefight game starts. Oh, you want to play a game? Crash.
Yeah. So you can see, I mean, these are problems they really do need to fix before they turn it loose to even a limited public.
Right.
You know, these are things that would make our experience more difficult than it needs to be. Yes, that means we wait longer for it, but it also means that when it does release, we have a better time with it and we can focus in on the more nitty-gritty stuff that can't really be tested in the smaller scale stuff or in the smaller scale rings.
So there's legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the 5 just Ring 2 bugs. And then there's Ring 3 bugs that they haven't even listed that have to be resolved.
Yeah. So they're working on it. I mean,
they are.
You know, that's why they're very careful not to call it beta testing. Because, you know, a beta test nowadays is closer to the finished product than they actually are. You know, we're pretty close to alpha testing some of this stuff. And, you know, that's what their ring system does. It gets it through the alpha test and into somewhat of a more polished alpha for us to test.
Yeah.
But by no means is it close to being finished.
Which is fine. They've been very open about how they are trying to approach Reach, and they've said, when it's ready, it's ready. It's unfortunate in our situation. We'd like to have a date and like to see it adhered to, but the fact that it's even coming at all for free should give some leeway for them to just get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even for the paid content. I would much rather pay for content and have it work than pay for content and not have it work.
At all.
They really want to avoid the fiasco that was Master Chief Collection's original launch. And I totally understand it. That's why they're so heavily testing this. And everybody's got to remember, these games were not designed for PC. So there are significant chunks of code that have to be rewritten to make it work on PC. You know, Halo CE and Halo 2 were ported to PC, but that doesn't mean they were built for PC. The amount of work that's needed on those two games is probably not as extensive as Reach, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, they didn't have to rewrite a fair part of its code to make it work properly.
Well, and some of the stuff that they're doing for Reach, they're going to have to do for the other games just coming to PC. So
I think Reach is probably going to take the longest because they're learning on Reach.
Yes.
You know, there's a pretty steep learning curve that they're going through right now. So CE 2 and 3 should go through, you know, well, the rest of them should go through a little faster.
Should. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if during their testing with Halo 3, Halo 4, and some of the other Halo games, that there's some stuff that they will re-identify with Reach and be like, oh, this was something that wasn't really identified and now needs to be fixed.
Yeah. No, there will be stuff like that. The nice thing about Halo 3 is somebody's already done a large chunk of the work.
This is true.
Which I'm sure there will be talked or looked at, let's put it that way. I don't know how much of it will be implemented, but who knows?
We'll see. We shall see.
Anyway, with Reach, you have to realize there is a learning curve there, because these game engines that they're using were never intended to be used on PC. They were designed for a specific platform. So there is a lot of stuff they have to put into this engine to make it work correctly for PC with all the functionality of a modern PC title. And that's what they're looking at. They want this to function like a modern PC title. So that means supporting all the available monitors, supporting the different peripherals, the different graphics solutions, different processors, things like that. It all needs to be tested. So I'm glad I'm not that guy. Can you imagine having to do the initial test on every single graphics card out there?
It would be very annoying, that's for sure. That's what they got
to
do.
They probably go clear back to the 7 series on the cards. NVIDIA 7 series and the AMD equivalent.
Probably. See how far back it goes. That wouldn't surprise
me. We don't know what they're shooting for minimum spec, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
They may not be going back that far, but I bet you they're going back to at least the 9 series cards for NVIDIA.
Well, with how old the games are, as long as the graphics run on them, they'll try to implement it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a limit to what they need to design for.
Sure, of course.
You know, it's kind of like if it'll run on a 9 series, it'll probably run on a 10 series, but I don't know. I'm not a programmer. I cannot answer that question.
As long as they don't pull a Destiny, then they should be fine.
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Not Sketch. Postums also goes into a little more detail explaining why they're flighting later, how they understand that people want to start flighting, but because people want transparency in the process, dates are liable to slip. And when they're being open like this, yeah, dates are going to slip. If you work in any kind of IT job, dates slip all the freaking time.
Yeah.
Because things come up. That's just nature of it.
The one thing we just have to remember is we are testing the game.
And they're giving it to us for free.
Well, that, and they're allowing us to be part of the testing process. You have to hold that testing with the fact that things may not go as planned. It's kind of like when I was reassembling my computer, things definitely did not go as planned. Far from it.
Yep.
And in testing, I found that I had bad components, and it delayed me another week in getting the computer back together. So, and also managed to cost me my Windows 10 license for my computer. But that's on me. So.
Womp womp.
Womp womp womp.
At the root of it, it's a complex system of games that they're trying to develop, trying to do some very complex things with it. They're still working through it. It's not like they're giving up or anything, but it'll be ready when it's ready.
It does take time. It will take time, so be patient.
Yep.
But I have to admit that their scheduling on this is going to start getting tighter and tighter the longer they push it back.
Well, if there's a quality bar that they don't hit, then it's going to keep pushing back, according to what Postums was saying. There's a certain quality bar that internally they must hit.
Yeah, I don't blame them. And they need to hit that quality bar. They cannot deliver Master Chief Collection the same way as it was delivered the first time. it must be right out of the get-go. Which reminds me, make sure that you've gotten all your game set or your game types uploaded to your file shares.
I need to do that this weekend. Because that takes place in 4 days? Yeah, in four days.
Yep.
August 12th.
I need to do the same.
10 a.m. Pacific time. That's 4 days away. 3.5 technically of this recording. So by the time you're listening to this podcast,
it's too late. Oh.
It'll be up before then. But depending on when you listen to this podcast, it might be too late. But if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, you have until August 12th at 10 a.m. Pacific time to get your game modes up into your file shares. At least it's only the game modes for the first go around. It's not the maps.
And then be ready to swap out your stuff for your maps for the next week.
Yep. Give it 48 hours. Don't touch it until the 14th. Just don't touch it. So yeah, I got to do that this weekend. Next up, we've got a mini community update. So because of all the Outpost stuff, Unishek decided to do an update in Twitter format. I don't know if you caught that or not in the link, GT. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but yeah. So we've got little bite-size updates. So all the different sections that they have, they're all in single tweets now. So we've got the August 7th playlist update. Well, hang on, I missed a tweet. So we got the Insider Flighting update, which we just talked about. July development update we talked about previously. For Gamescom, they will be bringing the Reach demo for PC, the same one that they have at E3 to Gamescom. And that's taking place the week after Houston? Yeah, the week after Houston. So when Houston is done, they're going to Germany to show this thing off.
They're going to be tired.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. MCC playlist update. We've got a little update from Postums. And this is addressing some BTB stuff. So for Halo CE 8v8, they are for Action Sack, they're removing PC weapons from Hang'em High in Mayhem CTF and Mayhem Crazy King. In Halo 2 Anniversary 8v8, for Slayer and Flag Bomb, they have added the Community Forge map Unearthed on Skyward by Move43 to Slayer and Multi-Flag CTF. And then on Halo 4 8v8, for Slayer, Flag and Bomb, and Asset Denial, they've added respawning non-random ordnance drops to Ragnarok, Daybreak, and Vertigo. So, short little update for MCC right there.
Mm-hmm.
A refresh on the Halo 5 Guardians playlist rotations. Today, August 8th, Castle Wars rotates in for Halo 2 BR Slayer. I wonder what's going to be played tomorrow night.
Husky Raid.
Or both.
Although I was watching someone tonight, and it looks like they've got some new maps in Castle Wars.
Ooh.
We may have to go in and check out the new maps.
Ooh.
Castle Wars.
I hope I get to join up for a little bit tomorrow. I don't think I have. The only thing I think I might have is currently scheduled is coordinating one of my panels tomorrow. Although I think both of my coordinations are on Saturday night. I think. I hope to at least get
these things called calendars dust that really help schedule that kind of stuff.
I know.
You know, the funny thing is there's one on your phone as well.
You know what the other funny thing is? Our date night on Wednesday was coordinating our calendars and putting everything in their calendars.
Wow, you guys are so romantic.
It needed to be done. We have a lot of upcoming possible trips that we needed to plan out, and we've been talking about them, and we just have to finally put them on the calendar. Because unfortunately, some of them are impacted by her having to work on Sundays, and we have three weddings coming up.
Fun.
And we have one in October, one in November, and one in January. One of those weddings is on Sunday, that's local, and two of those we have to fly out for. So there's that. I will confer with my wife. I don't think I have anything tomorrow. I don't think. No, Larry, I don't forget everything. It's just with everything outpost related bumping around my head, things are kind of displaced at the moment. Anyways, today, August 8th, Castle Wars rotates in for Halo 2 BR Slayer. On August 15th, next week, we'll have Foreigner Slayer rotating in for Roman King and Warzone Assault going live for the weekend. Double XP playlist, if you're trying to get some quick XP. Mm-hmm. August 22nd, Action Sack rotates in for Castle Wars, and Rock and Rails rotates in for Forerunner Slayer. Oh, wait, that's August 29th.
On the 29th, and yep. Also Warzone Turbo goes live on the 29th.
Which I won't play because I will be in Seattle / Anaheim. I did get all my tickets booked for that, though. Got all my flights.
That's good.
Yep. So I'll be flying out Wednesday morning to Seattle. Be flying out Friday morning to Santa Clara, which is like 45 minutes south of Anaheim. Flying back Sunday night to Seattle. And then flying back Tuesday morning back here to Baltimore.
Fun!
And then the summer of travel will be over. Thank
you. And then you get to do it all again next year.
No. I am not doing it all again next year. Unless 343 is...
There's going to be outposts next year, right?
Yeah, but I don't have to go to every single one of them.
Well, I thought you were going to do your panels.
I will if 343 pays my way to do all those panels. If not, I'll just coordinate and say...
Now he's putting conditions on it. I see how you
heck know. Yeah. Heck, I feel their pain now for having to go through 5 cities all in a matter of months. It's not fun.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's rough. And it's only for like DJ and those guys, it's a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like DJ's flying out Tuesday to set up and he's leaving Monday. So it's 1 week in meetings, 1 week in outpost, 1 week in meetings, 1 week in outpost just for DJ. I don't think the rest of the guys are quite that busy, but it's, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I am happy that I chose to do it this year. I'll be even more happy that I don't have to do every single one of them next year. Or I don't plan to. The only way I do every single one of them next year is if, for some reason, 343 or Hershen were to pay my full way through. Which I don't see that happening necessarily. But stranger things have happened. We'll see.
We'll see next year.
All the panels that I've orchestrated this year, like I could help orchestrate them and then just say, okay, this is how you need to manage time and you can go do it. Like I wouldn't mind putting the time and effort into managing and orchestrating the panels, but unless I'm getting compensated, I am not going to every single one of them on my own next year. I can't. Not financially. Like
I understand.
Financially, they've been good so far. Now they're starting to stretch thin. With the last two, they're starting to stretch thin. Anyways, I digress. Back to the mini update. We got some HCS updates coming in. August 10th through the 7th, which is this weekend, there's the Beach LAN. That is going to be a Halo CE style, I think, 2v2 tournament. So that's taking place all week, starting on Saturday. Kind of a weird day to start, but nonetheless, that's when it's happening. I think this is out in Florida. Yeah, Indian Rocks Beach, Florida is where this is taking place. And then the following, or to the end of that week, the Face It Ignite London is happening August 17th and 18th. And then we've got the UGC Halo Classic, September 6th through the 8th. That is the weekend after the last Outpost and PAX West. This is taking place in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Another Halo 3 tournament as well. Halo Outpost has two more stops. Houston, Texas coming up next weekend. And then Anaheim, California coming up 2 weeks after that. Tickets are still available over at HaloOutpostDiscovery.com. On the Halo gear front, Halo Silent Storm is finally out in paperback format. We have a little short link for you. So if you go to PodTackler.com/Silent Storm. It'll take you right to that listing. When I checked earlier today, the paperback was $11.99, which is a pretty decent discount off of the... Oh, sorry, $11.20, The list price being $16, so it's about 30% off. There's a hardcover edition for $12.19. There is a Kindle edition for $11.99, and for Audible it is $22.67. So there you go. Which, quick side note, we're doing Envoy for the next book. So if you guys haven't started that, go ahead and start that. For little radar blips, we've got a big one. So I guess it's not a little radar blip, it's a big radar blip. We've got some more, what's the term I'm looking for? Actors, just stick with actors and actresses announced for the Halo show. So this comes from Showtime. Now I'm just going to read this. It's a pretty short article. The title is Natasha McElhone, Dakeem Woodbine, Shabana Azim, Bentley Kalu, Natasha Kolzak, and Kate Kennedy joined the cast of Halo. So Natasha Elhone from Californication, Emmy nominated Bukim Woodbine from Fargo, celebrated Indian actress Shabana Azim from Fire, Bentley Kalu from Avengers Age of Ultron, Natasha Kolzak from The Witcher, and Kate Kennedy from Catastrophe are joining the cast of highly anticipated Showtime series Halo. McElhone will star as two characters, Dr. Catherine Halsey, the brilliant, conflicted, and inscrutable creator of the Spartan super soldiers, and Cortana, the most advanced AI in human history and potentially the key to the survival of the human race. Woodbine will play Sorn 066, a morally complex privateer at the fringes of human civilization, whose fate will bring him into conflict with his former military masters and his old friend, the Master Chief. And I meant to look this up earlier before, but I forgot to. There is a Halopedia article on Sorin 066. I was going to see if he was in any previous novels. Looks like there is quite a bit of stuff in here. I don't see anything in here referencing anything that wasn't in the original trilogy. So, oh, he was in Evolutions. He was in Halo Evolutions in the story Paria? Does that ring a bell?
The name sounded familiar.
Yeah. Halo Evolutions. Let's see. Azmi will play Admiral Margaret Perengoski. Ooh.
Ooh.
What's her nickname? Other than Marge? Is it something Marge?
Big Maggie?
Big Maggie, that's it.
Yeah, only one person calls her that.
Well, yeah, but still. So, yeah. That'll be interesting. Seeing Perengoski like that. That'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to that. Are you saying, Pins, are you talking about Perengoski or what? And then the series will also introduce three all-new characters to the Halo universe. British actor Kalu will play Spartan the Knack 134. A cybernetically augmented super soldier conscripted at childhood who serves as the de facto deputy to the Master Chief. British actress Kolzak will star in the role of Spartan Riz 028. Wow, so they're adding a lot of Spartans in here. A focused, professional, and deadly cybernetically enhanced killing machine. And Kennedy stars as Spartan Kai 125, an all-new, courageous, curious, and deadly Spartan super soldier. Yeren Ha was previously announced as playing a new character, Quan Ha, a shrewd, audacious 16-year-old from the Outer Colonies who meets Master Chief at a fateful time for them both. So there you go. Big Showtime update there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-for-3 social stream with Sketch and Snickerdoodle yesterday. They're playing some Husky Raid, and Sketch talking about his Halo Outpost escapades. Haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I will probably do that tomorrow. And that's it for our mini update. And in response, that'll be it for our show. Any final words, GT?
Look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend if I don't get to see you.
Same. I'm hoping to be there at least for an hour. It's been, what, almost a month since my last appearance?
Honestly, I don't pay attention anymore.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing with everybody.
We're looking forward to having you, Dust. Even though there's no Warzone Turbo.
That's okay. It doesn't have to be Warzone Turbo. I'm fine with Husky Raid. I am more than happy with Castle Wars as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can find us on your favorite podcast services. We can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Just search for Podtacular and you'll find us. We also stream our podcast live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We will not be doing it next week because of my extended leave for Halo Outpost Houston, but we will be back in 2 weeks on the following Thursday to talk about more Halo stuff. Depending on how quickly I get the book done, which I should be done in that time, but we will confer during my Houston trip. Actually, yeah, should be able. Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't be able to get done. So we're planning on trying to get Envoy done on the 22nd. So if you guys are reading the book and reading along, then plan for an Envoy book podcast on the 22nd, which will be our next episode. 697. Almost to 700.
Almost.
Almost. Getting close. The live stream kicks off on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We also stream our Fraggin' Fridays, which takes place at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by the wonderful Godzilla T. Thank you very much for doing that every week.
No problem.
I also have the achievement streams going on right now, going through Halo Wars Definitive Edition with Laird. I will be returning to that this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch us over on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube there as well. You can also check out our website. We all have all of our past podcasts there. We've also been posting the panels that I have been hosting at Halo Outpost on our YouTube channel. So make sure you check out all of those recordings. And you can also find us on our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. If you just search for a Podtacular pretty much anywhere, then you will find it. A little bit of an update on our Spartan Company commendations, since we haven't done that in a little while. We still have the 18 out of 31 company commendations that we need, but we're getting pretty close on our next one. We have From Downtown, which is Kill an Enemy Spartan from Long Distance. We are just under 200 of those. And First Strike, which is Earn the First Kill of a Match. We are, about a little less than 1,800 away for those. So those are the closest two that we have. And then for the last two, Sorry Mate, Killing Marines, we are 6,570 out of 38,900. And The Pain Train, Killing an Enemy Spartan with a Soldier Bash, 1,287 out of 9,700.
Lots of Soldier Bashes.
We'll keep chugging along.
It would help if, like in Castle Wars, that it would count as a mash and not a sword kill.
Yeah, that would help. If anyone wants to help us, there are some spots available. Just request to join the company and we'll get you in. If anyone is heading to Outpost Houston, remember, I have some Outpost exclusive pins. So if you find me, come up and say the phrase, "Keep on Fracking Trucks," and you'll score yourself one of those nice Outpost exclusive Podtacular pins. And with that, we will wrap it up tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. See you in a couple weeks for the podcast. See you tomorrow night, hopefully, for game night. And until then, keep on fracking them trucks.